Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's a special edition of The Wicked Edge on DTM Wicked Radio. Tonight we have a very, very special guest. I know a lot of people watch TV and they see my big fat gypsy wedding and we hear about gypsies, and of course Cher sang her famous song, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. You know, and we're going to find out if any of those things are true. We're going to find out how the gypsies handle the paranormal, because I hear, for little birdie, that they handled it a lot different than we do. So we're going to step into the mind of a gypsy a little later. So that will make your Monday, right? It's Monday. Not everybody's happy about Monday, but we have a great Monday for you, because after this show, we have none other but two of the handsomest dorks I've ever met, Leo Pond and Kevin Crook. So get your pocket protector, your nerd glasses, and let your dork flag fly, because it's awesome here on DTM Kid Radio. First, I want to give our special guest name is Gypsy Rose. And I kind of want to call her Gypsy Rose Lee because of the musical. I'm not even going to lie. I kind of see her with a large brow and a shiny dress, because that's my take on gypsies. But I'm going to learn tonight. All going to learn. It's going to be awesome. So before we get to Gypsy Rose, is awesome, let's give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors. Dream Codes Magazine. Dream Codes Magazine, they're a paranormal magazine. They have everything paranormal you want to know. They even did a little article on DTM Wicked Radio. Go on, read about us. I think we rock pretty much. Yeah, that's my opinion. I'm not biased or anything, but I'm just saying. Lion Pride Jewelry. If you're looking for handcrafted jewelry, it's beautiful. Rich Miller does a fantastic job. Everything is elegant and edgy and full of awesomeness. Love it. Rolling Hills Asylum, Sharon Coigle. If you're looking to do a private hunt, a captive hunt, a public hunt, contact her. You can set things up with her, and you will never, ever be disappointed. As a matter of fact, at the end of August, July 23rd to 25th, she's going to be doing ParaQuest. Laura Reynolds, world-renowned psychic, our good friend, we love her. She's going to be there. Dan Hooven's going to be there. PXP is going to be there. John Tobin's going to be there. He's going to rock it out, and so you don't want to miss that as well. Nate Beckwith, Web Designs. If you're looking for a web designer who is just amazing and kick-ass, you want Nate Beckwith, because he will make sure your web will be perfect. Also, I'd like to shout out to Fort William Henry Hotel and Resort. Not only are they beautiful on Lake George, you can wake up to a beautiful mountain and lake view. You can hunt there because it is very active. So that is Fort William Henry on Lake George, the Adirondacks. Perfect. So those are our sponsors. Some of them, we got more coming. Woohoo! So without further ado, and our patient guest is wonderful. She has withstood the little annoying British woman. She's fantastic. Let's give it up for Gypsy Rose. Hey, Gypsy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. We're, you know, it's Monday. It's hot as haze out. You know, it's good.
It's miserable. Yep. Yeah. I got the air on and all the animals inside.
Us too. We have the air on. We have the animals. In cool spots, they're watered. They're like, you know, the biggest baby animals ever. Like, I make sure they're taken care of before I do. I can be sweating bullets as long as they're cold and comfortable. I'm good with that.
Amen. I even put a little ice cube on their water dishes sometimes.
I read that that's not so good.
That's why I don't do it a lot, but when it gets so hot, because my German Shepherd's all black.
Yeah.
When he goes outside in the humidity in Iowa, oh my God, it kills him. And he just comes out and he's just like all like panting and can't get his breath, and he likes the little ice cubes to crunch on.
Aww.
I don't do it a lot, but I do it enough.
Yeah, just a little bit. I put their water in the refrigerator.
So do I.
Oh my goodness. We love animals. Anybody out there? It is hot. It's Hades out there. So a little disclaimer before we continue with the show. If you have animals, make sure they're in a cool place. Make sure they have lots of water to drink. Make sure they have food. If you take them out to the store, do not leave them in your car, because if the heat index is going to be over 100 or even 90s or 80s like it is this week, your car is literally in the oven and you can bake your animal. I'm not even joking. So do not leave your animal in a car. That's wrong. And if I see you have an animal in the car, I will personally break your window open and I will take your animal. I will leave a happy little note so you know it's me, but I will do that. Also, if you don't want your animal anymore, give it to somebody who wants it, that's not a dog fighter, that doesn't use them as bait dogs. Give it to somebody you know who loves animals, or take it to a non-kill shelter. Do not leave it in a park. Do not drag it behind your car. Do not do that, because if I find out and gypsies find out, you're going to have two really angry bitches on your ass, and we will make sure that, you know, you feel our anger, just saying, along with every other animal-loving freak out there, just saying. So with that having been said...
And a gypsy curse on your ass.
That's right. Gypsies don't mess with curses. I'm just saying. You know, she'll do it. And I will help her. I'm down with that.
I actually carry a hammer in the summertime in the back of my car, because if I see a dog or an animal in the back of your car is being busted into, and I'm grabbing the animal.
I don't have a hammer, but I do have a tire iron. Yeah, I have a tire iron.
That works cool.
Just useful.
Good.
So we love animals and we do anything for them. Tell us about the gypsy culture. Where are you from? What's your family like? You know, what's truth? How is your culture so different from secular society?
It's because we're so enclosed. We're not allowed to speak outside of the culture. Not allowed to really, you know, talk to people outside of our own people. I'm a second generation American citizen. Yay! I was born in LA, Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital in Los Angeles, California. And we are a closed knit society. We handle our problems, even if somebody does something against somebody else. We will handle the law ourselves. We will take and handle our own situations our own way, you know? And if that means that somebody gets a crack beat out of them, then that's what happens. But it's a very male-dominated society. I'm speaking out for the women in the gypsy culture because we have no rights. We have absolutely no rights. The men will ask for us from our fathers when we are very young, sometimes the ages of 11. They will wait till we actually get our period, so they know, like, we can have babies and we're at that age that it's okay. And they will actually marry us then. And it's exchange of money. It has nothing to do with the holy matrimony that you guys see. And unlike my big fat gypsy wedding and stuff like that, those girls are usually already married. It's just that when they come back, they will hold another wedding and a reception and stuff like that. But they're already bought. They're bought and paid for. It's done and over with.
Now, is that everybody we see at my fat gypsy wedding? Because is it possible that they have been bought, that they really have found their husband?
No, because if they had the choice, then you would have the choice to marry anybody that you want. Like, I look at an American society, you guys can marry or be whatever you want to be. Sky's the limit. If you want to be an astronaut, you can do that. If you want to marry whoever you want, you can. If we merely even think about that, we will get beat up.
That's horrible.
So the decision is taken out of our hands and put in the hands of the father.
Oh, my God. What about the show? What is it, Gypsy Girls or Gypsy Sisters?
Gypsy Sisters, yeah.
How true to form is that?
Well, Melanie has been sold several times and married, I want to say, because they still consider it marriage. So I don't want to insult, but it's still a form of exchange of money. And she's went through that 3 times.
Wow.
So that's what's making her a little like, she comes off as a little badass and a little raw. It's because she's been screwed over literally so many times that it just isn't even funny. And then the family just basically turns on you like a pack of wild dogs because they're figuring, well, if we can do it, why can't you? Why are you broken?
Right. Right. So do you know that family personally?
I have met them through parties and functions because gypsies usually all congregate in certain times of the year. So I have met them, but as far as like close, like I could call them if I called a few people and got their phone number because they're still family. All gypsies are family, but I'm not that close with them. But I know through family talks.
Right. Okay. Well, that's...
And I know that's a lot.
My goodness. I mean, that is actually a really scary proposition because we, as a society, we have sex trafficking. We have where people kidnap children, even women, and will sell them as sex slaves to their culture. So that's quite similar in a way.
It is very similar. And what's so frustrating is they program the girls to not think that it is sex trafficking. Or they program the girls to not think that they're being sold. If there's an exchange of money, and if you don't know the person that you're being married to, and you're just praying to God, because if you look through like my Big Fat Gypsy Wedding, they'll ask some of the girls, like, well, what do you want out of your marriage, or what do you want? And most of them will say, a good husband that doesn't hit me. That's it. You know what I mean? If because they're so young, they don't understand that they're being sold and trafficked, basically. And they have to wear skimpy clothes. They are not prostitutes. They are not sluts. A man that walks over to them girls or approaches them without going to the father will get their arm broken. We're a very tight community, and we stick up for our own, and those girls are off-limits, hands off. But they do that deliberately to solicit them to other family members who's going to put up a higher bid for the child.
Wow.
And what they believe is, they believe that the person with the highest bid or the bigger promises is a person that's going to love and take care of their child. They usually want a person that's closer related into the family, then it's, like, not as close related. So that's why, like, Irish travelers, mostly Irish travelers, Scottish travelers, Scottish travelers, we're all from the same area, but all broke off when we left the Middle East. And some of us went to Romania, some of us went to the UK, and then we split off from there, and then we went to the US. So it's all the same people. It's just that we got different cultures along the way and in different ways of thinking, but we're all the same. All gypsies are the same.
So when you say closer within the family, I do have to bring up a term that's not necessarily very pretty. Does that mean that people are more related than just by marriage, but by blood and in marriage, like inbreeding?
Okay, my mom and my dad's first cousins.
Okay.
My grandfather is my uncle. My grandmother is my aunt. I mean, this is very common. They want you as close as they can get you, and it's because the fathers can watch the daughters. Because it's a tight-knit group. And they can handle their own. Gypsy men have a saying that, you know, they can handle their own blood. They can handle their own breed. They call it breeding. Where if they were married just a little bit out, it's more tricky. It can't be done. But if they was to choose to marry a Goyger or somebody that's in an American society, there's going to be help.
Wow, that's intense. That is very, very intense.
This does cause genetic problems in my family. My sister died of a genetic disease. That could have been stopped. My family is so much in denial. They blamed it on a four in one shot. Measles, mumps, and rubella shot. They blamed it on that 3-in-1 shot instead of knowing what the doctors had told them, that it was genetics they won't face up to it.
So basically, they won't admit that even in their own culture, there are some defects that should probably be fixed and looked at.
Right, because if they have to face that, then they have to face the fact that they might have to start doing things differently. And my family don't like change. I mean, I speak what's considered a dead language. It's called Cant, C-A-N-T, a Scottish Cant. I can speak that. I can speak a little Roma Cant. I can, but it's basically a dead mixed language of different languages.
Wow.
We never move on. They never progress. This for last 10 years, they started buying houses. The Scottish traveler started to settle down like that. And my mother is terrified. And a lot of odd things happened. And, like, I left the family and stuff. And
are you there?
Caravans, most of our life.
Oh. Part.
Because we live trailers, caravans, most of our life.
Right.
They blame the fact that they don't buy a house. People are not in the house all the time. They will lock up and they will. And they will pack in the war, and that'll be. But they still blame that on me being the family.
No, but the family, you just said?
Yes.
Okay, so even though you have this, could you have three persons for the show? Point in leaving your family? Like, what was the absolute breaking point?
I was abused my entire life by my mom and my dad, physically and mentally, and then sold three times. And it was very hard for me because my sister died in my arms also. And I was pregnant one time, and it was basically kicked from me, from a man that just was on drugs that I had been sold to, and he just basically took that away from me and made me to where I couldn't have any more kids, and just everything just sort of.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, it was very hard, and I just at last had to just stop and just leave.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's not easy to do.
I'm a lot better for it.
Right. Now, I do have to ask, because going back to the inbreeding, like, does that bother you at all that, you know, you were born out of such close proximity within your family? Does that ever bother you at all? Can I ask if you have physical or mental issues because of that?
I suffer from PTSD, but I think that is more from the abuse, the beatings, and the fighting. I mean, they teach us how to fight when we're very young, and we're meant to fight. We're meant to fist fight each other. It's like putting a bunch of pit bulls together and making them fight. I mean, that's what they do to their children. I've seen moms cut their baby's fingernails, it's like 3 and 4 years old, into V's. So when they scratch another kid, it's going to harm them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, just society is completely backwards and very confusing, and it's just heartbreaking. And I'm here to try and break the cycle and to tell that if there's gypsy girls out there listening, that you don't have to put up with this. You don't have to live with that. You can get out. I will help you get out. You can stay in my house until you figure out what you're going to do. But you can get out. There will be people that will help you.
Now, are there other people like you that have, because this reminds me a lot of, like, you know, and this, no offense to anybody, like the LDS with Warren Jeff and such, where women left that, his form of religion and helped people get out. With that always comes danger. Are you afraid of that danger? It reminds me a lot of that. Are there other women like you who have broken free from the Gypsy Society?
Very rarely, but there is some of us that has. It's just that the kids are so programmed to fear people outside of the culture. That's what the strong arm is. You know what I mean? And knowledge is power. So they keep us stupid. We're not allowed to go to school. We're not allowed to interact with anybody other than them. So we're basically shackled by our own ignorance.
I see. Can you explain why your culture relies on such violence? Is it to hold fear so nobody leaves? Or, you know, but the violence between siblings and physical violence. Can you explain to us why that, you know, why that is? Like, why they lean on that so much?
Why there's so much violence in the Gypsy culture, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Between
Because there's so much gossip. A lot of the women, if you think about it, they just stay home, they have babies, they clean the house, and they get the shit kicked out of them by their husbands, okay? Then they bought pretty cars and Rolex watches and stuff, and they get angry and they get bitter because they're married at 13 to 14 years old. By the time that they're, like, in their 20s, they're batshit crazy. I mean, seriously, and beat up and pissed off, and now you have Facebook where everybody is just screaming and trying to kill everybody and making threats and hitting people at parking lots and beating them up, and it just opened up a whole ball of wax.
Right. And you're right. I think Facebook is a killer for a lot of the things, actually. excuse me.
Yeah.
I kind of want to move away from the subject because it is a very emotional subject, and kind of maybe get into something a little lighter. Again, we will say if there's anybody within the Gypsy culture that is looking to find a new way, you can contact Gypsy Rose and she will help you. So if there's anybody listening or will listen, you know, in the future, you have that with us. Now, the paranormal is very prominent within the Gypsy culture as well. Correct.
Extremely. And that was what I felt so much comfortable in doing, because we're taught by our families. We're not taught by schools or anything. So we're taught about mysticism and about, you know, the old ways and about root working. And it would be considered traditional witchcraft. That's the way that we are brought up. We're brought up in superstitions, mythology, warning omens, just different things, and extremely superstitious. And they also made a buttload of money from bogus psychic things for people.
Mm-hmm.
Hand readings and things like that. And they would stage a lot of it, because a lot of it they would do in their own homes. So when I went to L.A. and I was working there in the studios, and I heard people, you know, talking about, overhearing people talking about, yeah, there's something weird happening in my house. And this was, like, around 1994, 1993, where, like, the paranormal craze wasn't yet there yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would kind of interrupt them, and I would ask questions and stuff, and they were like, can you come over to my house and help me see what's going on? And I would do it. And the more I did it, the more I found out that people were comfortable. And I was bringing peace to a lot of people doing that. So I took something that was actually used to take money from people and to hurt people. And I actually reversed it and used it to help people who are terrified. Because I'm really good at debunking things. That's what I'm really, really good at. I will listen to anything, and nothing is too crazy for me to listen to. I will listen to it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you tell me you have, you know, a werewolf in your closet, I would walk in there as if there's going to be a werewolf in your closet, open up your closet and examine it. I mean, I will never judge you that harshly, but I will judge those that put, like, fake photos up and things like that. I will expose them like boom, 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 automatically, because it's so close to home, it's so raw that it's something that I feel need to just pull away and say, look, this isn't what this seems to be.
Right. I agree. excuse me. Okay, so you know, for paranormal investigators, we use types of equipment, and you know, and our feelings. And so, you know, my husband, he's sensitive. My friend Tammy and Lorna, they're very intuitive. Tammy's a path, one of them is psychic, and they're very good that way. Because I am very skeptical. I am very skeptical. I can't tell you how many episodes I have. I go to where people are like, you've lost a loved one, and I'm like, can you be any more generic? Anymore? No.
Oh, exactly.
So they're very good.
But you know what? It's good to take those people. If those people want to help, I will never say no. And what I do is I use those people as sort of like a dowsing rod. They tell me that they feel more energy in a certain room. I'll concentrate on that room, put up more equipment in that room, possibly, you know, and do it that way, where I'm not discarding what they're saying. I'm taking what they're saying into consideration, but I'm also trying to back it up with scientific methods.
Okay, so you basically follow the same pattern that we do. Is you being a gypsy, does it influence the way you investigate at all? Do you do different practices and use different techniques in order to investigate? Or do you kind of just follow the realm of us who come from a, quote, normal society and investigate the normal way we would do?
No. I've noticed that a lot of American culture, and I'm not trying to stereotype them all together, but I see that a lot of things are scary to people. Like, a lot of people react differently to things that are scary. I will think nothing of setting up all my equipment and having a seance right then and there, or gaze into a crystal ball, or ask something evil to come forth and to talk to me. I don't shy away from those types of things. If there's something in your house and you're telling me that it's evil and I have any kind of inkling, I want to sit down and I want to tell it to leave, or see what it is. I need the validity of it.
Okay, so you're right, because normally we usually suggest that they don't hold seances or use a Ouija board. What do you differently that makes it safe for you and feel comfortable doing a technique like that during an investigation?
I use everything. I use a Ouija board. I use it all. I protect myself with salt. I also put some bear root in my pocket, like my friend Sean told me to do. She's an American Indian. She's wonderful at protection. And I will use different gypsy things. I will also put sandalwood in my hands before I walk into a place. But, no, I've never been followed or hitchhiked or anything. But, no, I will actually, if somebody says that there's a demon in their house, I'm not going to be like, okay, let's get rid of this. I want to know how it was brought in, what happened. So to make sure that it's like the door is closed, I want to make sure to know what exactly happened there. So I will try anything. I will try Ouija boards, crystal balls, any kind of divination. I know about 150 different kinds. I will try those. I mean, I will actually want to communicate with. I'm not scared. You could drop me off, you know what I mean, in like Eastern State Penitentiary and just leave me there for a week, and I'd be fine.
Well, that's a place where we all want to go, actually. Now, with the crystal.
Yeah, but I'm saying it wouldn't it would make some people uncomfortable. It wouldn't. People make me uncomfortable more than the paranormal does.
Oh, I agree. I'm more afraid of the living than I am the dead. I'd rather take on somebody dead.
Absolutely.
I'd rather definitely take on someone dead any day over any day of the week. Now, with a crystal ball, how do you use that while investigating and trying to communicate?
It's called gazing. You can also use a mirror to do it also. And they're very powerful, actually. And what you do is the mirror or the reflection. Your reflection is your negative. Okay? It's not who you really are. It's how people perceive you and how you perceive yourself. You're looking at your falsehood. So the things that gaze back at you are the negative if you're the positive. So it's the yin to your yang, basically.
Right.
And what you're doing is you're gazing and you're asking whatever is there that is negative to come forward and let me see you. Let me see your face. Let me see what you look like. And if I can see you and I figure that if I can see you, if I can communicate with you, if I can talk to you, and if you're evil, I can cast you out. I'm going to cast. I'm not. There's so many, I think, paranormal investigators nowadays that if they hear certain words, they run. Like I had a paranormal investigators that contacted me not long ago about a child, and the child kept on hallucinating and seeing things and stuff, and they found out that the father was a Luciferian. They closed the case and just left, tucked and run. Like that, no. It wouldn't happen. I would dive deeper, especially for children. I want to be an advocate for kids and try and give them power.
Right. Have you worked on many children's cases?
A lot. Mostly more than regular cases. I, however it happens, I get a lot of word of mouth, and I get a lot of people that has kids that contact me. I also will make like a little spray that I call like monster go away spray, and it has like lavender in it, so it will calm a child and help them sleep better. But it has a little bit of sandalwood and some holy water in it also. So when you're spraying their little rooms, you're kind of blessing it. But so the parents feel safe and the child feels relaxed, and it does help.
Now, when you talk to parents about paranormal activity, do you not do it in front of the child, or do you figure the child already knows what's going on anyway? How do you? What's your protocol for doing an investigation?
Investigation for adults would be I would if there was two or more adults, I would interview each adult individually. I always interview the child individually. My question to the adult is if they allow the child to watch paranormal TV. Because the big one. Because the parents get so carried away watching these paranormal TV and like, yeah, you know, this show's coming on, and yeah, and look, there's a shaman in the hall, and yeah, and everybody looks excited, and the kid's like, well, then I saw one too.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I want parents to know that kids are so influenced by our reactions and the way that we react to certain things. And if they want attention, they might use that.
Right. That's true. Do you ever think maybe, I mean, how we do it, if we can help it, we never include the child only because, you know, we don't want to traumatize them more. Do you ever find it's best that maybe you shouldn't interview the child? Or, and if you do that, if you feel it's best not to interview the child, how do you go about the rest of the investigation?
I never interview a child directly, like, do you see spirits or anything like that. What I will do is I will get a coloring book and crayons or I'll get a tablet and stuff and just ask them what's been going on. You know, do it that way. I will never bring anything up that might be traumatic to a child. I will let them lead me and tell me what they feel that they need to tell me. I won't ever try and, you know what I mean, like lead them to say certain things or bring things up to them. So, and then once that part is done, I want to remove from the house or wherever I'm at, say at grandma's house or whatever, until I conduct the investigation completely with the computer equipment and, you know, all the gadgets and gizmos, things like that, because that can be intimidating. But the initial investigation, if it involves the child, if they say, my child's having nightmares or my child's seen a shadow person, yada, 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 I will interview that child on an individual one-on-one basis.
What experiences have you had personally in the paranormal that opened up your mind to it? Was it just your culture? what things beyond that?
My different culture had a lot to do with it because my mom was always aware of warnings and things, and she always would know if a family member was going to die, and she would always tell me a family member was going to die, and it would be somebody close, and she could name who it is, like, oh, your aunt's about to die, or my mom just died, you know, and she'd do it just by knowing a feeling or even seeing something in her mind eye. So I always was familiar with that. It wasn't scary or intimidating, but once I started going into people's houses and conducting those kinds of interviews, you know, I got my hair pulled, I got scratched, I got tripped downstairs. I mean, I got just all kinds of weird things happen. The most scariest is I don't think that I completely blessed myself the way that I should have, and something kept on pulling the covers off of me. And I went pulling them up, and they tugged harder. I'm pulling, something's tugging on my covers on the edge of my bed. And it just was like, no.
That would be certainly traumatic. I would have to agree.
Yeah, so I know that there's something out there to what I don't know, and I don't want to label it with a religious thing to it. You know what I mean? I just want to say I scientifically can't answer exactly what it is.
Right.
I would never say something was a demon. In other words, I believe in evil spirits, but I would never say that something was demonic until it actually told me, yes, I'm a fallen angel and I'm a demon. Oh, okay. Let's conduct an interview. Get Tiffany in here now.
That'd be interesting. I'd be like, holy water. Yeah, holy water and grease.
Yeah. Let's get the British bitch talking in your ear first.
Yeah, that'll make him to want to go away. if anybody wants to call in, number 818-431-8214. Again, if you have any questions for Ms. Gypsy Rose, it's 818-431-8214. You're welcome to call in. Have you ever encountered an evil spirit or something that told you they were a fallen angel?
I've encountered things that would lead me to believe that it was an evil spirit through the sulfuric smells and just the weird feelings and the anger and just hearing something. It sounded like something one time opened the door and had a whip, and it kept on whipping the door over and over and over again. That was the most traumatic, because you could actually feel the wind every time it would whip the door. You could feel something like pass your face. Like it kind of got like really, really intense, and it was in this lady's house. And she couldn't understand what it was because of her former tenants was Hasidic Jews, and then she moved in, and she's a Jewish, and they really don't believe like in a hell or, you know, like a Christian would. She doesn't know what the hell's going on, and I came in there, and I'm like, okay, there's something here.
Yeah, that's you know, you have to be very careful now. Hasidic Jews. What's it like to work with them and having your culture behind you? Is there a difference? Does it, you know, do you use the same protocols with them, or do you take, you know, heed with other people's creeds and conduct your investigation differently?
I conduct my investigation usually the same way through everybody. Everybody will know what I am but I also understand, like, as a Hasidic Jew, I'm not supposed to, like, touch the males, you know what I mean? I'm very respectful inside the house. I even had a Chinese people that asked me to cleanse their house, and I even read in their heritage that they believe in giving offerings to what would be considered a hungry ghost. So I got like tons of melons and all kinds of stuff, and I put a Buddha up, and I just stuck incense in there, and I burned it, and I still conducted the interview and everything the same way, but I was back to their belief system.
Which you have to be. I think it's very important, no matter if you agree with something or not, you have to be very careful of somebody's creed, whether they have one or not. What is one of the most intense cases you've ever had to work with?
anything that involves a child. I feel that I'm the last straw to a lot of people that they'll call me in as the very last go around. And sometimes I've had to actually pack up and go back to LA and deal with it. And I don't like those cases. I don't like the kids being harmed or scared. And what's so annoying is a parent will go to the paranormal before they will actually go to their pediatrician or consider there could be an allergy or they could be sick or there could be something wrong. They rather listen to it's a ghost, you know? And that's what gets under my skin most of all.
And I agree. I think, you know, it's interesting with our paranormal field. It's been accepted, but same token, it still has a really weird stigma attached to it. But with those who accept it, there's paranormal everywhere. I mean, there's people I talk to that know I am an investigator, and they'll be like, my car door shut itself the other day. It's haunted. And they didn't take into account the fact that the car was tilting because it was on a tilted side of a parking lot. Or, you know, my daughter keeps getting sick. You know, it's got to be ghosts. She's being haunted by something. And, you know, I'm like, wow, you have watched The Exorcist and Poltergeist one too many times. You know, have you ever thought of maybe taking her to see Dr. So-and-so? You know, and I'll suggest that. And, you know, they'll come back and be like, oh, yeah, she's got the flu. Or there was one case where, you know, the daughter was on a lot of medicine. And, mildly retarded, and she was older, but you know, the mother would call us up and be like, she's sick, she's throwing up, and it's like, take her to the doctor. No, there's a demon in my house, I swear. No, take her to the doctor. You know, it's crazy how people are very much eager to jump on a paranormal bandwagon, but on the flip side, they jump on the paranormal bandwagon, and then all of a sudden they're like, you know, everybody who's part of that is evil because it did something to my family, you know. It's such a weird industry to be a part of.
Because oh, yeah, I've got death threats. I don't know if you have, but I have, by Christian organizations and stuff.
I have been told. My husband and I have been told from my brother, not a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I love God. I am a Christian
right.
Through and through. I would die for my faith. And I'm a paranormal investigator. Absolutely. I've had experiences and I things I can't explain. You know, science, logic does not explain the things I've seen. And so we help people who go through the same things or think they are. That's why I do like a 50-page, you know, evaluation before we even do anything or consider anything paranormal. But my brother pulled my husband aside and said, you know, I'm really afraid for your soul. We're like, what? He's like, you know, demons trick people all the time. We're like, yeah, we get it. You know, well, I'm really afraid for your soul. My soul is fine. It's in check. We're good to go. I get a lot from people who are very, I'm going to say religious extremists, because there's a difference between Christians and religious extremists.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have a lot of, I've had a lot of the Christian extremists tell me that, like, I'm going to hell and stuff, and that I have no right. You shouldn't be looking for these things. That's our main thing. Like demonic thing, like.
Part of it is we don't necessarily just there.
Exactly, but they as our investigator, we do go looking. And kick up. You know, I believe that if you read the Bible, Jesus never walked away from anything like that. I mean, he walked away from the demon, and he was right there doing the paranormal. So, I mean, you got to practice it for free.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, they pick and choose certain things that they want. This is not just telling my family. It's people, you know, we run it everywhere. They're like, oh, those people might like, I guess. I love those people, you know, and you know, tell us, you know, what those people were, first of all. And, you know, kind of all, like, we don't look for anything like that. Matter of fact, something like that. Want to deal with that. So sometimes I think I'd rather deal with the religious dreams in front of people. And I, there were both. There were demons. And
yeah,
there were them. And that's what we do. And, you know, everybody says God has a plan for us. It's true. And maybe this is a plan. We're not prophets. I'm not sure heck no prophet. But I stand and I help people. And that's what we do. And that's what they did in the Bible. And they fail to see that correlation. But I'll more than happy to stay there and tell you everything that's wrong with you.
So we'll take the heap of them. I mean, if they can point to them, I mean, I do study things. I mean, I black and black kids and kind of thought I've been on aliens. I do all research.
Now,
every part.
I'm sorry, I want to touch a little bit on, we don't have a ton of time left, but I do want to touch on the children. What is that story? And how can people figure out if not does this, does this?
I'm never interviewed a person that has seen one, so I don't know. But what I gathered from the research that I have done, the children, they're dressed up like would be part of the of Les Mis, you know, that type of, you know, the little chants and the little, you know, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
Dress those old clothes.
Period.
And have, yeah, period clothes. Have no eyes. It's black. The spots we. And whatever reason, need to be invited in. They've asked to be invited into cars, homes, and it goes again. What we talk about, you know, opening doors for demons and stuff like that, need an invitation. It would be empire. I mean, think about it, but that I'm lost. I don't know if it's an urban land, there it has, it's out there. And if anybody knows anything,
I am too. The only close thing I could ever think in close to is my psychology. There is a sex with a three. And the theory is indigo children. And indigo children, but they say they're from completely right. Just say
hey, that's Nancy and
I'm sorry.
That's Nancy Ann. Nancy Ann. She was the one that wrote the book about go children.
Well, that's the
name right now. But anyways, what Nancy Ann did was she was the one who coined the phrase indigo children.
Mm-hmm.
And she said you could tell by their aura. But she had a lot of parents, not directly, but from what we've been talking about, parents stopped visiting their children
yep.
because they were real. And alien children. I'm really right now just stressing that all children are special. All children are miracles. If you think you have an issue, please keep on the medicine and pray about it, meditate about it, and you don't remove medicine because it just.
I actually agree, but there's a man, and he took the theory one step further. Serious, yes, they are failing. All some of them pass on the past. And he's what we consider the black-eyed children.
Now, that's interesting. I would love to hear more of him. The ladies